Finding peace. When the world around us turns us astray, we come here not to escape, but to rest, rejoice, and turn our minds on things that are worthy. Help us not to be anxious about anything, but to turn to you in everything, knowing you are near. In your holy name we pray. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning, and welcome to all of you joining us here in person, online, and over the airwaves. We're glad you're worshiping with us today. For our listeners, remember to visit our website, where you can find the bulletin for today's worship service under the Worship tab, as well as our newsletter under the Media tab. Our website address is trinitypreslbg.com. For our in-person congregation, please sign the attendance pads found in the pew pockets at the center end of each pew. Please pass the pad down to others sitting on the same pew. And if you're familiar with the people around you and they're not signing, go ahead and fill their name in too. In those pew pads and in the backs of the pews, you will find our prayer cards. One side is for praise and joy, and the other is for concerns. If you would fill them out and include them in the offering plate when it's time, we will collect those and include them in our prayer group. But if you would like them read on the radio, you can just circle yes on the little sticker. If you circle no or it's blank, we will not announce it on the radio. So remember to, there's also a list of prayer concerns out in the narthex under the mirror on the table. This month, we are collecting cake mixes, toothbrushes and toothpaste, body wash and soap for church community services. Thank you for your donations. Later in today's service, we will celebrate Christ the King Sunday with communion. If you are listening remotely, please have your bread and juice ready to take this sacrament with us as the body of Christ. For our in-person congregation, we will have a congregational meeting at the close of worship today for the purpose of electing an elder, electing the pastor nominating committee, and electing a corporate treasurer. Please remember that it is almost Christmas time. We are here at Thanksgiving. So we will be ready to order poinsettias. We've pre-ordered 20, first come, first serve. Orders are due by November 30th, which is just around the corner. They are $13 each. Order forms are in the narthex under the mirror, and you can also call the office if you are not with us in here in the narthex today. So this week's schedule is listed in your bulletin. The Trinity Singers rehearse here in the sanctuary on Tuesdays at 5:30 p.m. All are invited. The worship committee will meet after choir practice on Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. in the church office. On Wednesday, you are all invited to the Trinity School's Friendsgiving soup buffet in the fellowship hall at 12:15. So that's we are invited to the school's Friendsgiving soup buffet at 12:15 on Wednesday. Looking ahead to next Sunday, adult Sunday school and middle school Sunday school will meet, but we will not have pre-worship singing. Also next Sunday, we will have part two of our Yay Clay Sunday Fun Day at 3 p.m. That's next Sunday. So even if you did not participate in part one, you are still welcome to come for part two of Yay Clay next Sunday at 3. Today, we welcome back Ivy on the piano and Elizabeth in the pulpit and the Trinity Singers. Thank you all for leading us in worship. Elizabeth, do you have any other announcements?
I do not. I think that was a lot. So, yes, we're coming into that busy time of year, so there's lots of things happening. So always keep your ears out and notice always that the newsletter, which will be coming out in about a week, make sure you look in there for all the wonderful things that are happening here at Trinity. So keep that on your radar. But now I invite you to stand in that ancient tradition of passing the peace, knowing that through Christ we have been forgiven. We are able to stand and pass the peace with one another. Here in the sanctuary, we wave. If you're online and listening, we invite you to text one another saying, "The peace of Christ be with you." And if you receive such a text, to reply with, "And also with you." Let us pass the peace of Christ and remain standing for the call to worship. Now please join with me in the call to worship as found in your bulletin. I will read the part in regular print if you would join me in the part in bold. We gather on this holy day,
for we have seen love crucified and raised.
We gather around a font and table,
for we have known joy through water and bread.
We gather around an ancient story,
for we have heard truth in the words of the scriptures.
We gather around the Holy Spirit,
who enlivens our hearts for the worship of God.
And let us worship by singing hymn number 142, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Salvation, whom shall we fear? With humble hearts, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Please join in the unison prayer of confession as printed in your bulletin. God of wonder and might, forgive us when we put our faith in earthly power instead of in your promises. You call us to work for your reign in this world, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us when we take those words as a platitude instead of a pledge. Forgive us, O Lord. Move us and challenge us to be servants of peace and justice.
Create in me a and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit.
We'll now have a few moments of silence for personal confession. Friends, hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ even prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ. We are all forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. We now invite our young people forward for our time with young disciples with Noren Sanford.
Young folks and folks young at heart, those here and those listening online on the radio. Today, we're going to take a related scripture, but slightly different. We're looking at Luke, verse 23, and we're starting at verse 32. Now, this is a story that many of us have heard, an account that many of us have heard many times. Two others also. This is Christ's crucifixion. Two others also were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place they called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." One of the criminals who were hanging there kept deriding him, insulting him, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same punishment of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now those are tough scriptures. It's a tough account to walk through again. But there are a couple things to think about. In these scriptures and a few around them are some of the core Christianity of our faith. So I've said in the past that let's be careful as Christians not to rush to the resurrection. Not to rush to the resurrection. Now that's a strange thing for a Christian to say, right? So what I'm asking us to consider is that how the Christ chose to die helps to inform us truly what the resurrection means. And we can go in several different directions, but we're focusing just on the criminals. As Christ was hanging there, what Well, let me say this. You know, I usually like to bring in maybe a little touch of humor into some of our time with young disciples. It's really hard to do that today with these scriptures, unless I reach to Monty Python, and we're definitely not going to reach to Monty Python. In fact, Monty Python is right out. So, when we consider this, we're considering how the Christ is suffering by us, how the Christ is suffering with us, and how the Christ is suffering for us. So if I asked you, what were God's options at that moment? That's a strange question, but what were the Christ's options as he was being crucified?
Well, I think when I was younger, I really thought that, you know, he could just save himself, but I think he chose not to for us, and I think that's really powerful. So I think that could have been one of his options, and yet he chose the harder one, the one that helped us.
Well said, well said. Yes, God being God could have just pushed the divine reset button, and we could have started over, right? And we wouldn't look like we anymore. Maybe God would have lifted other creatures up out of his creation. But as you said, the Christ is making choices, is ministering up to the end. Sometimes we are tempted to see the Christ as in his broken human body being powerless. And that's the furthest from the truth. He made choices to suffer by us, suffer with us, and suffer for us. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we worship a suffering God, that in our times of suffering, we can remember that we are not alone and that you are suffering with us and you have suffered for us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
As you can see from the front of the bulletin, today is Christ the King Sunday. It is the last Sunday in the Christian year. It doesn't line up with our regular year, which New Year's begins the new year. But for us, next week will begin the new year. The Christian year beginning with the first Sunday of Advent, which is where we begin our anticipation of the birth of the Christ child, the same one born to be the King that we talk about today. We also, during Advent, talk about the return of Christ in glory. But today is Christ this King. It's this day to focus our thoughts on Jesus Christ and the kingship he claimed through his death and resurrection. And so today, you may come like me, or may have come in with the expectation of hearing scripture about Jesus as sovereign over all creation, ruler of all, to come and sing majestic hymns that sing about Christ's power and strength and victory over even evil and death. Songs that sing about crowning Christ as King over all. As a matter of fact, a church that I knew, a large church that I know, on Facebook posted something last night. And they were listing out what they were doing in worship today, and they have pulled out all the stops. And if you don't know what that expression means, on the organ, when you pull out all the stops, it makes the floor shake. Everything is playing. All the sounds are coming. They were pulling out all the stops. They have the orchestra and the adult choir and the children's choir and the handbells. And they're doing songs like Crown Him with Many Crowns and Lift High the Cross. Now Thank We All Our God. All Hail the Power, which we did today, and the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And that, I think, is what I come expecting. These songs that tell us of Christ's power and strength. Our first reading does meet some of these expectations So let me share with you our reading from Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. Well, that scripture meets some of these expectations. A marvelous description of Jesus, the image of the invisible God, that when we look upon Jesus, we are looking upon God, the firstborn of all creation. In him, all things on earth and in heaven were created, the visible things, the invisible things, what we know, what we don't know. He himself is before all things and holds everything all together. The head of this body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. I don't know about you, but this is a description of a king that I can get behind. First place in everything, head of the church, the one who holds it all together. You know, to be honest, we often come to this day with expectations of what a king is, what a king should look like, how a king should act, what authority a king should have. Even though in the USA we have never had a king, we clearly have some thoughts about what a king might be like. Why else would we be having no king's rallies? We have expectations that have been formed by kings that we have known throughout history. As Christians, we even have 1st and 2nd Kings in our Old Testament. And if you have read these PG-13, possibly R books, you know that most of the kings of Israel were described with these words: he did evil in the sight of the Lord. As a matter of fact, when I took Old Testament, I remember that for one exam, we had to memorize the names of all the kings in order and then be able to list whether they were good or bad. I don't have a great memory. And so I was a little struggling with this, but looking at the list, I realized this list of all these names that are not familiar to most of us, they are hard to pronounce, and some of them even sound a whole lot alike. Looking at that list, I realized very quickly that the easiest way to memorize who was the good king was to memorize the list of the good kings only, because it was only a handful. Everybody else, all the remaining kings of Judah and Israel, had it said of them, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. You know, we even live in a country that fought to be released from the control of a king. So we have some expectations of what a king would be like. We expect a king to have complete authority and control over their subjects. We expect a king to be a man of power whose word is the law, the last word. We expect a king to be fabulously wealthy, to live a life of privilege, to have others serve him. And this is what we expect of human kings, and perhaps by accidental extension, what we imagine God's kingship to be. Which is why you, like me, like Norrin, might have been surprised by the gospel reading for today. And I have to apologize because I even put the wrong one in the bulletin. I put last week's. And then I realized what I had done. Perhaps we expected today to be a passage from after Christ's resurrection, maybe a story there about the ascension. Then we could talk about Christ ruling from heaven, or maybe we're just going to go and use some of those images from Revelation of the heavenly court. But instead, the lectionary gives us this scene that Norrin shared with you. Jesus on the cross. Jesus saying, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Jesus talking to the criminal. You know, I was told once that whenever I am reading a passage, when I'm studying the Bible and I want to understand, to pay attention when I'm surprised. Notice the things that surprise me, and then to work, dig deeper to try to understand them. So although my first instinct today was to preach on the Colossians text, because that one would have been easier, I even carted home a bunch of my commentaries. Shannon knows I cart things in and out. Carried home a big bag of commentaries on Colossians to read for insight, but I just kept being pulled back to this passage from the Gospel of Luke. Why? Why is this the passage for Christ the King? I mean, I would expect that passage that Norrin shared with us to be during Holy Week. If this is the passage for Christ the King Sunday, what does it tell us about Christ? If Christ is King, what kind of King might Christ be? What kind of king is Christ? Christ is a crucified king. Not like any human king we have studied or known, not like any human conception of king. You know, in the beginning of that passage, God lets us know what a king looks like when he allows Pilate to write the sign and put it on the cross above Jesus' head. The sign that says, "This is the King of the Jews." This jars our thinking. Christ is King. He's not privileged, but one who suffers. He's not standing in power, but he's the object of the abuse of power. Luke describes this humiliation with words of abuse. He's a criminal, condemned, naked, scoffed at, mocked, taunted, derided, reviled, sneered at, crucified. When they put that sign there, they're mockingly trying to say that there is no king here except the one who wears not a crown of jewels but a crown of thorns. Hardly the king of our expectations and our imaginations. But the sign Pilate hangs over the cross where Jesus is dead right. Jesus was king even there, welcoming people into his kingdom, not even waiting until he was thrown in glory, but doing it from the very cross, the very place of his death. Of the two that were crucified with him, one joined in the taunts, but the other rebukes him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we have been justly condemned, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then the criminal turns to Jesus and says, "Jesus, Remember me when you come into your kingdom. This criminal, even from the cross, even looking at Jesus hanging on the cross, recognizes Jesus as King and asks to be remembered when Jesus comes into his kingdom. And Jesus, the King, welcomes him into his kingdom. He says, "This day, truly, you will be with me in paradise." From the cross, in his last hours, Jesus continues his ministry that he had described to Zacchaeus just a few chapters earlier in Luke 19. He says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And earlier, Jesus had told the crowds in Luke 4, as he read from the Isaiah in the scroll in the temple, he said, "He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So what kind of king is Jesus? Not like a human king, as our expectations have been shaped to expect. You know, he never dressed like we think a king would dress. He never owned a palace and riches, never commanded a servant, never exercised power over anyone, never played the system for his own benefit, his own self-interest, did not live according to our expectation, our human expectation for royalty. Theologian Rosalind Brown expresses it this way when she wrote, "God's promise to the people was a king who is righteous, deals wisely, executes justice and righteousness in the land, and enables people to live securely." In Jesus, God has fulfilled that promise. Justice and righteousness, themes that will recur in Advent, are hallmarks of God's King. In the story of Jesus, kingship is recast. The miracle lies in the fact that God shared the potential hopelessness of the human situation, but does so as King, as the source of our hope and life. Jesus took his wounds to heaven, and there is a place in heaven for our wounds because our King bears his in glory. Jesus lifted up on the cross reveals that true power, true kingly action lies in self-giving love. Jesus gives us a vision of the kingdom where we have a king who loves even those like the criminal who we might overlook or dismiss or discard. And Jesus loves them. Who acknowledges and favors and even regards the marginalized. A king who uses power not for his own benefit or his own self-interest, but to intercede on behalf of others. A king who reaches out to people who are at their very end of their life, like the criminal, or of their ability to care or to function, or at their end of their rope, and shows us that no one is beyond the reach of the mercy of our King of love. And so, what does it mean when we say that we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and King? Friends, we are freed to participate in the reign of Christ, in Christ's kingdom, by loving as Christ first loved us, by speaking on behalf of the marginalized, or as Jesus said it earlier, bringing good news to the poor, by calling out justice calling out for justice when we see injustice. As Jesus said, proclaiming release to the captives. We can participate by showing God's love to those who have not seen love. As Jesus put it, recovery of sight to the blind. We can participate in the reign of Christ by advocating for those oppressed, or as Jesus put it, to let the oppressed go free. Whenever we forgive those who spitefully use or abuse us, whenever we seek to serve rather than be served, whenever we speak up for those that have no voice, whenever we think little of ourselves in our desire to uplift others, we follow Christ the King as our Lord and our God. Thanks be to God.
And now, in response to God's word, let us stand and boldly proclaim what we believe using the Apostles' Creed, which is printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Come to the feast of heaven and earth. Come to As we come to this time of communion, think back to the time when Jesus sat at table, very similar to this, to celebrate Passover. And as was the Jewish tradition, to celebrate with the family. Well, Jesus' family were his disciples, and that's why they sat at table. They were his family. So you see, this is not your table, this is not my table, this is the Lord's table. People will come from the east and the west, the north and the south, to dine at the Lord's table. And all are welcome. All are welcome. And that is significant, particularly on this Christ the King Sunday. We celebrate that Christ is our King, but we also celebrate that we are servants of that King and have the opportunity to share in the same meal that Christ did. Beloved in the Lord, hear what gracious words our Savior Christ said to all who turn to him. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For this is the table, not of the church, not of Presbyterians, but of the Lord. It's made ready for those who love him and want to love him more. So come, you who have much faith, and you who have very little. You who have been here often, and you who have not been here for a long time. You who have wanted to come and have been denied, and you who have been welcomed, and you who have tried to follow Christ, and you who have failed. Come, not because I invite you, but because the Lord invites you. For it is his will that those who want him should meet him here. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ, in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the death and resurrection of our Lord. Receive our sacrifice of praise. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that this meal may be communion in the body and the blood of our Lord. Change these elements from common to a sacred use. Make us one with Christ and one with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith, encourage us in hope. Inspire us to love, that we may serve you as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh in the holy and life-giving Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen. the night of his crucifixion, took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said, "This is my body broken for you. Every time you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood shed for the remission of your sins. Every time you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me." us pray. We thank you, O God, that through your word and sacrament, you have given us your Son, who is the true bread from heaven and food for eternal life. So strengthen us in your service that our daily living may show our thanks. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. And now, let us return a portion of all that God has given us as we receive this morning's tithes and offerings.
Let us pray. Loving God, before we give to you, you have given to us. All we offer, we have received from you. We thank you for your goodness, and we praise you for your bountiful works. Through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated.
And now we have an opportunity to take to the Lord our prayers and our concerns of the world, of our community, and of our congregation. Let us pray together. O good and gracious God, we thank you for your presence here among us, for calling us here to your house today, for giving us this time that we can come and worship you with our voices and our hearts and our minds and our bodies, that we can acknowledge and claim and proclaim that you are King of all in this world, of all that has been created. O Lord, we also claim and proclaim that you are our Lord. And as such, we serve you and we care to serve you. We pray that you would give us your hands and feet, that we might be able to show your love here on earth, that we might be able to show justice and love to all those around us, that you might be able to work through us. And we pray for those places in this world, in our nation, in our community, in our own lives, where there is brokenness of heart or of mind or of body or of spirit or of system, in any way that your shalom, your wholeness, is not felt. We pray that you would work through us to be able to help create that shalom here on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we pray for those here in this congregation who are struggling and suffering, for those who are ill, for those who are facing upcoming surgery, for those who are facing challenging times with work or with life or with relationship, we pray that they would feel you as close as the very breath in their bodies, that they would know your presence, that they would know your love more than anything in this world, and that they would be able to rest in that love. That this food you have given us today at your table would give us strength for the journey, that it would magnify inside us, that we would be able to feel your presence with us always. We pray all these things using the words that your Son taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
And now let us stand and join our voices once again as we sing together hymn number 155, Rejoice, the Lord is King. You to have a seat for our congregational meeting. But now hear these words. My mother often told me that our hymnals are like many devotional books. And here we read, God's kingdom cannot fail. Christ rules over earth and heaven. The keys of death and hell are to our Jesus given. Christ is king. And what a king Christ is, because Christ knows that the power comes in self-giving love. And so now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.